Good morning, everyone. It is 10:02. I will call the January 14th, 2021 meeting of the Port Ludlow Drainage District Commission to order. We continue to operate under the Governor's 20-28 proclamation that suspends in-person meetings, so this is wholly telephonic. Let me go over for the record just briefly what our agenda looks like, and then we'll start to it. Call to order, which we just did. Followed by roll call, agenda approval, public forum, engineering reports, new business, old business, commissioner reports and comments, the consent agenda, and then finally signing the documents that will be done electronically by commissioners within the next few days, and then finally the meeting adjournment. So with that brief introduction, I'll call for the role. Commissioner one position is open. I'm Don Forbes, Commissioner two.
Deborah Hellison, Commissioner three.
Cammy Brown, Recorder.
All right, thank you. And then we also have, again, for the meeting minutes, our consulting engineer, Nancy Lockett, is also on this call with us. Item number three is agenda approval. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I make a motion to approve the agenda, but I am going to just make a note that because of the power outage, the agenda that was posted on the website and what the commissioners were provided by Cammy, there is just a slight modification I'd like to read into the record, which is that engineering reports, there is also a number B, which is Nancy will be reporting on a site visit to 189 Resolute Lane, and also number C, a ditch culvert repair recommendation. So with those two adjustments, I make a motion to approve the agenda.
I would also just note as a typo, it's not necessarily significant, but under old business item B, I think that should be an outfall inspection rather than fallout inspection. So. Note that for the record. But with those, I'll second. So those in favor of approving the agenda as modified or amended, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we have an agenda approved. Public forum, do we have any guests online? Or is it just the four of us?
There are just the four on the recording.
Okay. Item number five, engineering reports. Nancy, you've got a arm load here.
Yeah, there's been a lot of building permits. I'll just run down the list here quickly. So 183 Rainier Lane is on the south of Swansonville on the east side of the road, and that project proposed using the west half of the roof going to the road ditch after a stub-out connection, and the east half of the roof area going to splash blocks. And I just want to clarify, because I think this will come up later, is, you know, splash blocks on residential properties are an approved BMP for the county and the DOE manual, provided there's 50 feet of vegetated flow path. And vegetative flow path means, you know, a purposely vegetated area. Either you've left it native vegetation, or it's been grassed, or, you know, some pervious cover that will help retard flow. So that's just a discussion point for later, too. Ludlow Cove 2, Lot 26, has building permit 574. Ludlow Cove 2, Ludlow builder, I forget what they're called, whoever owns the Ludlow Cove area, they continue to say, well, we're going to use infiltration, and infiltration doesn't work down there in that fill area. So my comment always is, prove that you can use infiltration. If not, figure out another BMP to use. I haven't heard back on that one. I don't know if the county approved it. 106 Puget Loop, that's building permit 564. That property is to install two rain gardens, and that's acceptable. And my original comment was to show how the rain gardens were sized. The county sent some more information from the applicant who appropriately sized the rain gardens. So building permit 281, 94 Gamble Lane. That's on the east side of Gamble Lane. So the lot drains west to east to the roadside ditch. So they're proposing to do a dispersion trench with only 5 feet of flow path, and a dispersion trench requires 25 feet of flow path. So my comment to the county was, if they approve that, they're going to have to grant an exception to the flow path requirement. And one of the issues over on Gamble and Cressy and some of those areas is that that's an area where there are septic systems, which really baffles me, but there are. A lot of the lot be appropriate for storm drainage use is taken up with septic fields. So this lot is kind of confined as to where they could put a dispersion trench. I haven't heard the outcome of that one. Baldwin Lane, that's 538 Baldwin Lane, that's on the side of Baldwin Lane. They had originally proposed infiltration. My response letter said, well, you've proved that you can infiltrate. And then they came back to the county, well, we're going to do dispersion trench and then discharge to the roadside ditch, which is acceptable. Pioneer Drive, building permit 573. They had proposed a sub-out connection and then discharge overland, and that's, not the BMP, that's not in the first list of the BMPs that are available. So my letter said, well, they should probably look at downspout dispersion with splash box or dispersion trench. I haven't heard the outcome of that. The only thing I did hear was two property owners downhill of this property contacted the county and said, well, there's a French drain on that property that they want to make sure is not impacted during construction. And my comment to the county was, we, the district, don't know of any French drain there on that property. If it was, it was probably installed by an adjacent property owner. We don't know anything about it. 75 Cressy Lane, building permit 399. It's also one of those properties that's on but this property is on the west side of Cressy Lane, so it would drain to the roadside ditch. And they're recommending using a ditch. There isn't 25 feet of area between the dispersion trench and the property line. But considering it's going to the road ditch and they are doing some mitigation with the dispersion trench, I recommended that the county accept that plan. Pioneer Lane, building permit 400. That's on the west side of Pioneer Lane, and they were proposing using perforated stub-out connections and then to the roadside ditch, which is acceptable. So those are all the building permits. They have a couple new planners at the county, and so I know Don wanted to address this, but some of these planners are like asking for help on how to read storm plans and things, which I'm not sure that's our mission, but anyway, I just put that out there. So are there any questions on the plan reviews?
A couple notes, and we will talk about this plan review process later under old business, and it's an important one because it isn't directly related to our mission, but it might be an important outreach. But I just note that it'll come up again a little later on in our agenda. And then for the record, for anybody who isn't familiar with our nomenclature and might pick up this recording later, BMPs mean best management practices. So that clarification. Anything else on the permits per se? You're not hearing anything. I'll jump to item 6, which is new business. Under that item,
excuse
A
me.
Is review of...
Yep. Don, we amended the agenda. There's also a 5B for Nancy to talk about her site visit to 189 Resolute. And also
I've got under
6B.
Oh, okay. That's right. You made those changes. I see it under C, under 6, which is, again, we've got a couple different versions because of our inability to communicate due to. So, Deborah, you made that change, so let's go ahead and follow.
I had put it under 5B, but whichever, as long as we still cover it, that's all.
Well, let's go ahead and cover it here because it's under engineering anyway, so.
Okay, so 5B is the site visit to 189 Resolute Lane, and latter part of last week, Don had gotten some correspondence from the county, I believe, that said there was downhill residents questioning the drainage from 189 Resolute. It's a newer construction, still under construction, and there was runoff from that property that it was impacting the downstream properties. That building permit, when we looked at it, had proposed installing a dry well, and my comment back when the building permit was, building application was submitted to us for review was that infiltration is generally not feasible, but they should, if they think they can use it, they need to provide evidence that infiltration is a feasible operation on that lot. We didn't review it, but the applicant submitted a revised site plan that showed that they were going to use splash blocks on the east side of the building to discharge to a 50-foot-plus vegetative flow path. The county requested that there'd be a site visit. Don approved that I go out there for a site visit. So I met David Johnson, the senior planner for the county, and the county's enforcement officer, and a young woman, I'm sorry, I forgot what her name was, and the property owner slash builder at the site on Monday. It wasn't raining at the time, but it was certainly wet, and there was standing water on the property. And they're currently the southeast corner of the property is bare ground. So it's been cleared probably to put in the sewer connection, but there's a lot of bare ground that flow would go over down to the properties on the road down below. And there aren't any gutters on the building yet, so potentially runoff from the building as it stands now could have caused impact downstream. It may be more likely it came from the front yard of the building that is on Resolute Lane. but it's hard to tell where this flow all came from. Like I said, the property 189 has a lot of bare ground, and then the property down below, the fellow or the owner has also cleared out a lot of vegetation, so it was just basically bare ground from the building site down to the property below. We talked to the owner and said, you know, number one, you've got to hire an engineer to develop a drainage plan that's going to help to eliminate this impact to the properties down below, and he needs to put in some vegetation. So the county did not write him up as a violation, but recommended that he hire a local engineer to develop a plan for him. And I suggested that one thing he might be able to do is to direct some of the drainage from the west side of his roof to the roadside ditch in Resolute to help alleviate some of the flow that would, and frankly, the roof line breaks running north-south, so I don't know how that roof drainage from the west side of the building was going to get the east side of the building anyway. That was the only recommendation I made. So, but it is, as Don mentioned last week in an email, it is a property owner to property owner issue.
Yeah, and the property owner down below was quite open to working. It was really quite understanding about it. Having said that, however, he's lived in that little house for quite a long time, and this is the first time his garage floor has ever flooded and his crawl space has ever filled up. So it's more likely that it came from the property above. And I think even the two property owners said that, but I encouraged Nancy to attend a meeting with the county in order to make sure that, because my involvement's kind of started our involvement as the district, but also to kind of ensure that any solutions that came up made sense to us, since we had already, Nancy, that is, had done an initial review. I just want to make sure that all the bases were covered. But it sounds like there is a solution now, and we should be able to step back and pay attention to our own specific mandate.
I just have a question, Nancy, when you said that it was David Johnson from the county and the owner, was this the owner of the 189 Resolute, or the property owner below who had originally contacted Don?
It was the owner of the 189 Resolute, who I think is also the builder.
Okay.
Mr. Wheatley. The county enforcement official was talking to the property owner down below, but I didn't speak to him.
Okay.
Anything else on this one?
No, but I can go on to C, because that's kind of related, which was the ditch culvert,
okay,
which is repair. So while I was out in the district, I took the opportunity to drive around and look at some of the district facilities to make sure that they had handled the storm. And everything looked pretty good, with the exception of the elliptical culvert that's at the east end of the wastewater treatment plant ditch. That was the culvert that was installed 3 or 4 years ago to replace an undersized culvert that had been in that location probably since the plat was developed. And the culvert did a good job. I mean, the flow kept going, and there's a trash rack on it that kept any brush that came down the ditch during the storm event from totally blocking the culvert opening. But some water had gotten up over the culvert and eroded on the north side of the culvert, some of the soil that was there. So my recommendation would be that Yard Dog pack some more soil in there some point in time, you know, this summer or spring or summer, and just fill in that void. The pipe's not in danger of going anywhere, and it's not an immediate need, but it should get filled in at some point. And then yard dogs at that point could also take some of the riprap that's in the ditch and build up a little bit more of a berm on top of the culvert to keep water in the ditch on the west side of that culvert a little bit better. But other than that, everything else looked pretty decent. The pond, the detention pond down off Oak Bay Road was about a third full, which is more water than I've ever seen in there. So it was a big storm.
Yeah. Deborah, are you okay with Nancy directing yard dogs to go ahead and do that minor
repair?
Yeah,
I was actually. Yeah, so Nancy, you'll just send Russ a note or something asking him to take care of that at his when it's dry enough to do it? Is that the plan?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay.
Anything else under item 5?
Can I just bring up something we don't have on the list here? Is that okay?
Sure.
So this is the property on Rainier south of Walker Way that Don, you had told me about last week. Do you remember that? I have to find my email here to find an address.
I think it's 473, as I recall.
Okay, so what that is, Deborah and Don, just to reiterate, is a property owner there at that property said there's a catch basin in his backyard that he was curious about, and as was his downhill neighbor, and I wasn't familiar with anything there, but doing a little bit of research, it seems that there is there's a utility easement behind those properties, and it appears to have a drainage pipe in it that discharges towards the detention pond that was installed in it's Plat 7 of Port Ludlow. So that was just a curious thing, and I did drive by that location when I was down there on Monday, and it looks like somebody has cleaned out the ditch at where Rainier kind of turns on the south end there, so I suspect maybe the property owner had gone out and tried to reestablish that flow path. But it's not a district facility, but it's just something to put in the record and keep in mind if somebody else asks about it in the future.
So, Nancy, could you give that address or location again?
Yeah. While you go on, I'll look through my emails and get it. So.
Okay.
Anything else on item 5? All right, item 6. Under A, which is a review of a list of potential drainage issues. Debbie, you want to provide the overview on this one? And we do have Nancy's list, which is what this refers to.
Right. So I had requested this during the budget process, where we had discussed the fact that for years the district had been carrying I think it was upwards of $20,000 plus some design budget for additional capital expenditures are possible, but we didn't really have anything identified. So in the 2021 budget, since we didn't have anything planned, we did remove that approximately $30,000 that was essentially a contingency, I think.
And so during that process, I had requested Nancy to kind of give an update of what potential projects we could be or that the district might want to consider in the future and put some numbers and timeline on those so that rather than planning for or budgeting for something that wasn't planned, we could start planning for things that possibly needed to be budgeted for, if that makes sense. So anyway, yes, Nancy provided this list, and I'd like to just have her kind of walk us through and have some discussion as to at what point these may or may not come up in front of the district for some action.
And I think Nancy was looking at the other citation to confirm it, and I have it as 473 Rainier. So I think, it's a way of introduction to this list before Nancy walks through it. For the record, there are six items on this list of potential projects for us. The date of the first one could be as early as next year, 2022, and they go out to 2026 or beyond. So with that overview, then I'll ask Nancy to walk us through the details.
And I just want to let anyone listening to this recorder know that this list will be attached to the minutes from this meeting. So there will be a hard copy available to anybody reviewing this.
Excellent. Thanks.
The one I pulled up here doesn't have dates on it. Let me find the one that has dates on it.
It's the one that
August 27th.
Twitter says November 5th.
Oh.
And I think on my emails, it was sent out around the 9th or 10th.
Well, Nancy's looking. I'll also add one other footnote. This entire list are things that are provisional at this point. We're watching them. We may or may not need to do something. But in the event we do, the combined value of this list exceeds $1 million, and given that we kick in something under $100,000 a year, you know, we would have to make some adjustments downstream. And we do have cash reserves that would cover part of that $1 million, but certainly if we need to address these in a more serious fashion down in subsequent years, then we need to think in terms of adjusting the revenue that we're collecting.
Yes. Okay, I found it here. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay, so
fire away.
Yep. So the on my list here, the priority one project are the Oak Bay culverts. And this is, you know, sort of a small project, but it has a large impact. There's on Oak Bay Road, both north and south of Baldwin, there are some cross culverts on the road that discharge from west to east. But when they discharge on the east side of the road, there's no conveyance system for the discharge. And several years ago, many years ago, before both of you were on the commission, this was an issue, and it was mainly an issue from a woman who lived on Baldwin Lane, and water during high storm events would come out of these cross culverts and create some flooding on her property. When we were looking at the culverts, they're a little bit higher than the flow line of the ditch, and we just thought, well, we'll block those, and the water will all go down to Baldwin, where there's a connection with the main culvert that goes then to the outfall at the court outfall. But the county wasn't really happy about that because they said they wanted these culverts in just to prevent potentially overtopping of the ditch and then, you know, water running over the road, which would be a hazard, and especially if it was cold out, the water would freeze and cause traffic problems. So one thing we did at that time was we convinced the county that we could put in some baffles that would allow some flow to go across the road under really high flow events. So I went out there with some, like yoga mats and did makeshift baffles. And I guess the county didn't like them because like a month or so later they were gone. But that is one alternative, is to just do this baffle system again that would minimize the times that these culverts would flow, or to block the culverts totally, send all the flow down to Baldwin. The third alternative, which is much more expensive, would be to install a collection system on the east side of Oak Bay Road that would connect these cross culverts across Oak Bay and then take that flow down to meet up with the system. I mean, it's called the Montgomery system, but it's, you know, kind of Baldwin, Montgomery, Libby Court, that would then take it out to the bay. I'm surprised we haven't heard from property owners on the east side of Oak Bay, especially with this flow event. We'll have to see if there is some comments about that. But I think it's worth trying to work with the county again to say, can we either block these culverts or put in a baffle system? So that's the first one.
Let me go ahead and just discuss these in order. Deborah, do you have questions or comments about this?
Well, you know, when I read this and, you know, I walked up there a little bit and looked, and yes, I concur with Nancy that it seems like we either have a real expensive, longer process because of permitting, or we have a fairly simple, straightforward, no permitting required. It's almost more like a maintenance situation to install the baffles, and not knowing why the county might have objected to it, you know, I think it is definitely worth circling back to, because, you know, if we can fix it now with a simpler solution, or at least mitigate any events or the water flow during these major water events, then let's do it. I mean, it's something that seems pretty straightforward, and it would be nice to have the county agree with that so they didn't oppose it or take it out later.
Just one little piece of background here is the ditches along Oak Bay are shallow, and you know, one option of course would be, well, let's just make a bigger ditch, but you can't because there's fiber optic below it. So that's part of the reason why those ditches aren't more adequate. But if you want, I'll get back to the county and say, can we please something permanent that's acceptable?
This sounds like a no-brainer to me, and my only question is, you put an estimated date in 2022. Is why wouldn't this just be something we roll in and have Russ do this year once things dry out a little bit more?
And I think if we can get the county to agree to alternative two, which is no permitting required, construction cost is something that, you know, we could handle with our current, even within our current budget, I would agree with Don that maybe that's something we could move forward.
Nancy, listen to this. You have the sense of both Deborah and I that we'd be prepared to move forward. So if you'll contact the county, if they're okay with it, let's just have Russ put it into his work schedule for sometime later this year.
Okay. Sounds good.
Item two.
Okay. So Montgomery Lane Drainage Improvement, this was a project that had been contemplated. What this would do is to take the drainage from the east side of Montgomery Lane that currently comes down Montgomery Lane, turns the corner on Libby Court, and ends up down at the cul-de-sac on Libby Court, and then into the ditch along the walking trail that then discharges just to the open LMC greenbelt and then over the bank with no pipe discharge or anything. You know, you all are familiar with that walking path at Libby Court because that's where we took the tree down a year or so ago in order to improve the drainage through there. So there is water that comes down Montgomery Lane that impacts the Libby Court cul-de-sac drainage, and the thought was to install a culvert to take the drainage from the west, from the east side of Montgomery Court over to a point of connection with the ditch, the Montgomery ditch, that then discharges to the outfall out to the Sound to help alleviate some of that water that goes down to the Libby Court area. You know, there has been some development on Montgomery. There's a house now on the east side that discharges drainage out to the Montgomery ditch. So that will increase flow in that ditch. Anyway, that's what the project was. It was shelved a few years ago just because of I don't know because of what, but it was shelved a few years ago.
And from your perspective, there's no immediate need to address anything, so you plugged in 2023 as a reasonable date, which means that maybe a year from now we could take a look at it, decide if we need to do something. That gives you 3 to 3 months or so of permitting. So next year at this time would be the earliest, so we'd need to review and entertain possible action on this one.
Yeah, and the reason I put that date out there was, you know, you could budget for it, really.
Yeah.
So, Nancy, you say permits required include county right-of-way. Would there be others that you would assume, or is it just county right-of-way?
County, yeah.
All right, well, I agree with Dawn. I'd say that we pick it up in October when we're doing 2022 budget to see if we would put in some design and I guess meetings with the county to see if this would be agreeable to them, and then the budget after that, 2024, then would include the work, or 2023 would include the work. If we could get past the county part, so yeah.
Good, I like that.
Again, this is one that really would not require any, I mean, the cost of it is well within our current reserves, and so it wouldn't require a lot of planning in terms of either big increase in assessment or communication with the ratepayers within this area, because we could do it with current reserves.
Exactly. And then before we get into the final four, if you will, those we really, maybe beyond even today's conversation, we really need to talk in some depth about, because those are all fairly expensive. And if in fact we see that we do need to do something out in the 2026 range or beyond, we may need to start preparing for that financially. With that note, why don't we go ahead and go on to number three.
Yeah, so these next projects, 3 through 6, are really to keep on a watch list. Number three is the marina outfall. There's a 36-inch outfall that discharges the flow that comes down Oak Bay Road from Walker out to the bay. It's a bank discharge. The outfall is not located in the water, which is a good thing for permitting. But if you walk down in the marina and you walk on the beach, you can see the outfall there. It's a concrete outfall, and it's in pretty bad shape. It's broken. The county hasn't done a TV inspection of the outfall from the exit point at the bay up under Oak Bay Road. They haven't TV'd that to see what that condition is. I suspect it might be like the two other outfalls that the county repaired about 4 or 5 years ago by slip lining. And the county's aware of this, and they're kind of looking at this outfall as well. I mean, the real danger is that the pipe under Oak Bay Road gets so deteriorated that soil starts washing out from the top of the pipe, and then you could have a sinkhole developed in the road, which is the county's main concern. So this is something to keep watching, keep talking to the county about. I would suspect that because it is a main drainage feature for the district, flows from the district, if the county doesn't do this project totally on their own, they might be looking to the district for some participation. But at this point, it's on the watch list and, you know, communication with the county. So on the permits here, because it isn't, the outfall is not discharging below the high water mark into the bay, federal permits wouldn't be required. But, you know, be a right-of-way use permit and most likely a SEPA and a shoreline permit through the county would be required.
So, Nancy, is this one where it would really be more of a county project and they could circle back to us to ask for our participation, or would you see us as the driver of this?
I wouldn't see the district as the driver. I'd see the county as the driver. And the driver would be that Oak Bay Road is in danger.
Okay. And then
or the drainage just becomes blocked beyond the road, and then the ditch on Oak Bay Road would be non-functional.
So probably our main responsibility is just to make sure the county is thinking about this or watching it, which obviously they would be because of the impact on the road.
Right. Yeah.
So our action really gets triggered by county action. In this case, we take our lead from them. I guess is what Deborah just asked and Nancy confirmed. Anything else on number three before we go to number four? Okay, number four, Nancy.
Okay, number four is another one to watch. And I see on the agenda we're going to talk about the fallout inspections later. But, there is a discharge, over-the-bank discharge, that comes from a drainage easement between 191 and 201 Condon Lane. It discharges the top of the slope, and at this point, the bank doesn't seem to be impacted significantly because of the discharge, but it's something to keep watch on because, you know, these over-the-bank discharges are why the district installed the two outfalls that we have on the beach. So this is an area to keep an eye on. If, in fact, it seems like there needs to be an outfall extension that would go over the beach to take the drainage down to the beach level, there would be a lot of permitting required, not only county permits for critical areas, steep slopes and shoreline, but federal permits via JARPA and HPA to work in the high water mark. And this would be a big project, but it's something to keep on the radar and, you know, kind of highlights the importance of walking up the beach either annually or every other year just to see what the condition of these outfalls are. It's easier to catch something in the, nip something in the bud than after it becomes a big problem.
Good, and we'll talk specifically about that beach walk in a later agenda item.
So, Nancy, in other walks along the beach and looking at this, have you ever seen any beginnings of erosion based on the way the water is discharging over the top of the bluff?
Yeah, I not on this one.
Okay.
But it is a facility that isn't somebody's individual house line running over the beach. It takes a larger area of flow.
So I don't know if this is relevant or not, but I think just on the very close to that, Don, you might know about this, but there is a house for sale, and apparently there were some questions of that. I think it's just a few lots away from this area, and it's potential buyers backed out because there were some concerns or some signs of some erosion going on. Don, do you know anything about that?
I haven't heard of it specifically. I think for any of us, Deborah, you and me included, we live close enough to the face of shoreline. I didn't hear anything specifically about that one, although, you know, it's going to be an issue, you know, over several hundred years, probably not in shorter durations, but you never know.
Okay.
I think one of those houses down there, in the same location, they lost something like 6 feet, 8 feet of bank a few years ago. It just kind of sloughed all at once. So it's always a potential.
Okay.
Anything else on that one?
Only to note that it sounds like based on this conversation, we've answered thus far what a triggering event might be. In this case, it's really that inspection along the beach. It would give us some indication whether we need to take action on this. So annual inspections or annual walks would help us understand whether there's anything pending we need to be aware of.
Okay, I'm going to move on to number five, which is the Foster Lane Ravine Drainage. This is the area that that we looked at extensively last year. Don and Brian Belmont from the LMC and I and Yard Dogs did a walk to look at the condition of the culvert, or of the ravine, I'm sorry, that comes basically Rainier Lane and that discharge down there, or not Rainier, I'm sorry, Pioneer. And the ditch is excised. It's a slope, and there is some erosion that's occurred. And it's an area to keep an eye on. We discussed, you know, what could be done there, and what could be done is going in and creating a larger riprap ditch section that would help to dissipate erosion. Our consensus at that point was it isn't at that point yet, but it should be watched. If there had to be some work done in there, it would be a permitting exercise. There'd be critical areas permits through the county. Because there are steep slopes and habitat, that sort of thing, there'd be SEPA, and if, in fact, there are wetlands, which there might be, not a wetlands person, so I can't say whether I saw any wetlands down there. If there are wetlands, then it would be a federal for working in the wetlands. You know, it doesn't, I'm going to be, at this point, there doesn't appear to be any potential for damage to private property because of this ditch, but it's something to keep an eye on.
So when you say keep an eye on, is this something that Yard Dogs does a walk once a year? You do a walk?
No, well,
what would the
yeah, it's I would think that it would be, you know, either asking Yard Dogs to go back to look at the ditch. You have to go through private property in order to look at it. Or, you know, commissioner / engineer requesting permission and then going to look at the ditch. But I think an annual look at it would be a good idea.
Deborah, this is quite a ways away from any private property per se, and it takes a little bit of hiking to get down to it. So in addition to getting permission from the particular homeowner, it's also just a bit of a trek. What I was going to suggest as well is on several, most of these are easy enough for us to individually go look at, and it's not a big deal, but on this one, Foster Lane and the beach walk, which we'll get to again as a specific agenda item, I'd suggest that next time around you go with Nancy or you go with Brian. I already am pretty familiar with that, and because you and I can't go together unless we want to have an open meeting during the course of the inspection, we're enjoined from that because of you know, open meetings laws, but you should take a look at this, and maybe you should also do the beach walk so you've got a better idea of these things. So.
Yeah, actually, last year when this Foster Lane Ravine was a big topic, had a couple of our meetings, and Brian was involved. I did go down there, and I understand exactly what you're saying. It was a bit of, I don't know, you know, there's no trail. You're doing a little bit of
bushwhacking, yeah.
To figure it out. So I am totally in agreement with what you're saying. Is it something that it's not like just a casual walk by? You have to plan it and get the permission and everything. But I also know that the landowners, I think there's no question of getting permission because they appreciate any observations that are being made by LMC as well as the drainage district. So, yeah, I think it's just let's kind of keep tabs on it, but make a note to try to inspect it on a pretty regular basis, just so we don't get caught off guard with a big event that hasn't been noted.
Okay. Number six, Nancy.
Number six is, one second, I'm writing a note on this last one. Montgomery Port Inlet, this is close to you, Deborah.
Yeah, it's right across the street.
Right. And the flow from the ravine north of Jackson Lane, which is one ravine over from the Foster Lane ravine, is discharged across Oak Bay Road in a culvert, and that culvert direct drainage in a pipe down the slope on the east side of Oak Bay Road, and it discharges at the cul-de-sac North Montgomery Court, goes around the cul-de-sac, and then goes out the outfall pipe that is just north of your house. And I forget how it, I know I talked to the county about this previously, and there it's kind of like the outfall on Oak Bay at the marina. The county's keeping an eye on that culvert that goes under the road because of the potential impact to the road if that culvert fails. So they are keeping an eye on that culvert. And this may be more of a situation where we take the lead from the, or we take our direction from the county, is to just keep in touch with them, see if they're still got this on their radar, and then go from there.
So, Nancy, just because I am in close proximity to this, there has been a lot of activity by the county over in that area. Mostly it was before Christmas, I would say, in that December time frame. So it may be advantageous for you when you're calling the county to ask about some of these others or get updates, that you get an update from the county as to what they have done. I mean, it hasn't just been, there's been workers out there. And what I heard is that from one of the county workers is that there were some significant balls that were taking over some of the drainage flow and was blocking it. And that there was plans to do some more permanent fixes. I haven't seen anybody out there in the last, since the holidays, but there may be some updates from the county of what they do have planned for this area.
Yeah, okay, I will contact them,
Anything else on this one, or for that matter, the entire list before we move on? All right, we will update this list this fall when we, again, put together our annual budget. And in the interim, there are several of these that either with a beach walk or other opportunities to observe, we can update the individual items along the way. All right, moving along. Second item in our new business, the delegation of authority for 2021 as required under a resolution 2019-02. And in that resolution, way in the background, and I think Tiffany, you brought this forward, so I'll ask for you to lead it, but there are three areas of delegated authority primarily. We were looking to not only spread the workload among commissioners, but also to get us individual more conversant with various parts of our business. So the three areas were, you know, one was finance, second was engineering and maintenance, and the third was clerical and secretarial. And we made a decision to review those and update those annually. So, but that is an introduction, Deborah. What how would you like to carry this one forward?
Well, first of all, I do want to say I think this provision, this resolution, has actually served us very well. You know, it's when I see an email coming through commissioned, it's a landowner with a drainage issue, I know that, you know, Don will be responding, and that I don't respond to those. And I'm sure Don feels the same, that, you know, it's nice to know that Tammy and myself are, you know, working to keep the, I guess, administrative side of the district operating as smoothly as we can. So I have actually been quite pleased with this delegation. It feels that since we can't meet on to discuss every little item that comes up, it's a good way to keep the business running, and having somebody with the authority to kind of keep things going. So with that background, we are required to reassign delegation on a yearly basis based on this resolution. And kind of right in the middle of a few projects that are pretty critical to maybe the way we're going to be handling records retention and everything moving forward. So I don't know, as much as I may not really appreciate this, I guess I'm volunteering to continue with the role that I had in 2020, which was the finance as well as the clerical and secretarial, and that being the case, to request Chairman Forbes to continue to be the delegated commissioner and to handle engineering and maintenance questions as they come up.
Yeah, I'm happy to continue under that basis. The division of work, I have to say, weighs heavily toward you. So if there's anything, notwithstanding what I mentioned earlier, is that you and I can't talk directly except in meetings because of open meetings laws and the two of us represent a quorum. If there's anything on the items, administrative financial items that you are currently taking that you could sub-delegate out to me, knowing that we really can't talk much about them at all during meetings, but much about them even in the meetings, I'm more than happy to take on any of that workload because you're getting far more work hours in than I am. So I don't know if we even need, do we need a formal vote on this?
No, I think we just need to have it go in the record, Cammy, that we reviewed the delegation and we'll continue with what was set up for 2020. And just a reminder, we divided into three areas because we are a three-member board. And so if and when we get that third commissioner, then we would automatically be delegating some of the authority and responsibility to that third commissioner, which would really, I guess, relieve some of the workload that's currently falling to me. But I do have Cammy and Mary to also help, so that's fine.
Okay. Well, thank you for your willingness to take a disproportionate amount of the workload, at least in the short term, and hopefully we'll get a new commissioner this year. So. I think that's our last item under new business, as we've already talked about Resolute, which on my copy of the agenda was under this one. But did you add, wait, I'm sorry, I'm rambling. You added something else, Deborah, under new business.
No, I didn't.
It isn't on my copy. Oh, okay. I thought there was a separate item under. Okay. All right. Then I think tracking my copy of the agenda, we then skip to item 7, old business, and the first order of discussion is the permit application process that includes review by PLTD. Deborah, do you want to, you had requested this, and I think the basic issue is this, not only the permit application process, but some of the site visits that I've authorized Nancy to take are beyond our specific mission. And I think the question in your mind was, should we continue to do these kinds of things? Is that correct?
Yes, with a couple of caveats. First of all, it is expensive. You know, it does cost the district money. Reviewing the completion of our 2020 budget expenditures, we've spent a little over $2,000. We paid Nancy Nancy's firm over $2,000 for her to do these reviews, which are actually just a direct benefit to the county building permit group. And I know this has been discussed throughout the history of the district as to, you know, why we're carrying that expense rather than the county, you know, increasing their level of expertise. And it seems like at time there have been comments made that the county has hired new people and maybe they have more expertise in this area. But I think last year there must have been some pretty significant build out going on. And I think even going into 2021, Nancy's already reviewed and billed the district for some additional ones. So it does start to add up. And I looked back through some of the discussions we'd had with the county before, and there is a document that seems to surface once in a while that's called the Permit Application Process, PLDD, Jefferson County, DCD, Permit Application Process. Last one I saw was dated 12/20/2018. And at that point, at one of our meetings with Nancy taking the lead of doing the word processing, a change was proposed and given to the county that the district's consulting engineer would only review those plans that had direct impact. Well, let me look at the wording. For drainage review as appropriate, comments limited to projects where the site drains directly, not overland or through county ditches, but drains directly to district facilities. So that's what I'd like to kind of circle back to, is if we can't make these more relevant to the actual district business, and since the county, as far as I know, has never commented on these edits that were proposed back in 2018, doesn't seem to be a big drive to actually get this document ever formalized, but as commissioners, I think we could have a policy within the drainage district without the, you know, without making this a joint agreement with the county, that our policy is that, yes, we will have our consulting engineer review the building permits whose drainage site plans directly impact the district's facilities. So that's what I'd like to discuss as to, you know, what would be the benefit to the
to the district to limit our reviews to those site plans that actually would impact our infrastructure.
I'm a bit ambivalent on this one, so let me just provide a little context or at least the insight to my thinking. In some respect, this is outside of our statutory mandate or our statutory authority to do this work at all. So saying no just across the board probably wouldn't be a stretch for us in terms of what we're really charged with doing. I've tended to see this, even though it tends to be the county's work, I've tended to see this as a benefit to the neighborhoods in our community because Nancy has far more understanding of what is happening in our community because of her history here than county employees are necessarily going to have. So to the extent the wisdom and insights that she has over what they might have could be important to individual property owners. Whether it directly impacts our facilities or not. So I just saw a part of it as just being a good neighbor, even though part B is that it's really not within our specific charge. So that's my general ambivalence, is that I could see this going either way. Under the continuing notion of what it means to be good neighbors, there was a point at which the district was in charge of capital projects, and to the extent that we're visible to anybody, we were more visible at that time because of those capital projects, the construction projects. And now we're largely invisible, but we're still charging people money. And it that's all valid, but in terms of us being the single point of contact for people within the community, if they have questions about drainage issue, it kind of augments that singular notion if we choose to continue it. That is, be kind of the face of drainage, the single point of contact that LMC or even the county might refer people to. Then doing the permit to review would also fall under that. But I'm not bound either way. I'd like to hear what Nancy has to say about this as the person who's been doing this for some time now.
Well, and for many years I've suggested the district look to the county for reimbursement for these services. But that said, I think it is a service that the district provides, and if it can help to eliminate some neighbor-to-neighbor friction, I think that's probably a good use of district funds. But I also, you know, the county has an engineering branch in public works, and they could rely on them to review drainage plans as well.
Is there anything lost, Nancy, from your perspective, if we just say, no, we're not going to do it at all, period, irrespective of, you know, Deborah's notion that maybe we go ahead and do it where we think it affects our drainage system, but that's always going to be kind of a real judgment call. And sometimes we say yes to the county, sometimes we say no. So my real question, therefore, is what is lost if we just say no, period?
I think what's lost if we say no is the possibility that individual properties will put in systems that cause problems for their downstream neighbors. But then again, is that the district mandate? You know, I think if the district says no, he's going to have to find some other way to make sure they're approving appropriate drainage plans.
Yes, Deborah, your thoughts again?
Well, I guess I'm looking at it from a couple of different angles. One is that it is a direct cost to us, but it's also a direct cost to our community to be paying for a review of an individual lot's permit application. So, you know, when somebody puts in a building permit with the county charges them probably a couple thousand dollars, in my experience. And then on top of that, the drainage district, which is paid for by the, you know, all of the homeowners within the district, all the landowners, are also, I mean, contributing now to the county cost of reviewing this permit. So I'm not sure we're really doing a big community service by subsidizing an individual lot's permitting process. So that's one thing. I guess the other thing is that it really is kind of confusing. When I look at the homeowner's requests that we get, it's pretty confusing. They don't know who to go to. They don't know if they, you know, and we become, I guess, kind of, well, Brian probably becomes the first point of contact, and then he tells them about the district and he tells them about the county. And then we typically point them back to the county. So at some point, it just seems like the county should be stepping up and saying, you know, if there's an issue, they should be the first point of contact and bring us in only if, you know, we are part of the solution or the problem. But it seems like 90% of the time it really is more of a county issue. So yeah, I'm all for being, you know, neighborly and a good neighbor and making sure that, you know, people understand what is here, but I don't want to make it seem like we're the first line and the county has limited resources to contribute to the drainage here at Ludlow. I'd like the county to, I guess, be a little bit more prominent in understanding or people's understanding of who can actually solve whatever problems might be going on. So I think there are other ways that we could, I guess, be good neighbors or show our presence to the community. I think there might be some areas of maintenance maybe we could be more responsive to or do a little bit more work on and look at that contract and are we doing all we can. I think we could also reach out to the trail system and the Greenbelt committee and kind of join forces with them and maybe enhancing some of the areas that do affect drainage. So I don't know. It's kind of a tough one for me to see where the benefit of putting engineering resources into backing up a county permitting process is really beneficial to the drainage district.
Yeah, hence my own ambivalence. If we just said no, well, if you were to offer, I don't know, we need anything other than a sense of the commission, if we just step back, but maybe we need a formal resolution that we maybe forward next month. But what I was going to ask Deborah, if you were just to make a singular decision today, what would you decide to do?
Well,
or if you want, I can go first because I know I put you on the spot, but I was just okay. All things being equal, I think I would just back out entirely. I see some advantages for us to be aware of, you know, the level of activity that might give Nancy a heads up of things going on. There's some advantage for us to just be a good neighbor and use her experience and knowledge of this area to make it a little easier for people. On the other hand, I don't know that we get any real benefit from doing that, and we can save the $2,000 or $3,000 or whatever it ends up costing us to do more direct service. If it were me, I'd probably just back out.
Well, I would definitely support that. I think it puts us in a better situation, a clearer situation in terms of what our mandate is. And I think it also gives the county a reason to be more involved in making sure that the plans are reviewed carefully. I mean, they certainly have the option to go directly to Nancy's company and ask for consulting services, or to look a little deeper internally to provide it. So I know that, you know, the county asked us to do it, but I've never really seen where the county relies on these reviews. So I think backing out would be an appropriate position to take.
Why don't we do this? Go ahead, Nancy.
I don't know, Deborah, you've cited some correspondence with the county regarding this earlier, but I'm not sure. There's a March 18th, 2009 administrative project review policy that the county issued that kind of goes over non-single family and single family, how they're going to deal with reviews. I think that's the latest one we had there. You mentioned that there was some amendments we sent in but never got approved or any discussion with the county. So I think if you decide you don't want to have PLDD review these applications in the future, I think you probably need to send something to the county in writing to say that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. What I had to put in front of me, Nancy, was a redlined agreement, which goes through the single family as well as the development, but as pertains to the single family, it was redlined dated December 20th, 2018, and I do remember the meeting where this was presented to Mr. Johnson. So, but that's the last red line I have. But no, just I would research where we stand with any kind of agreement and have a formal letter position given to the county. But then that's
I was going to take it one step. Yeah, I was going to take it one step further, and that is before we actually adopt a resolution that we ought to reach out to both Brian as well as whomever you think at the county, Nancy, and say we're considering this and we'd appreciate their input as to how it impacts them or, you know, how it might impact the community and get input for both the county and Brian before we go ahead and adopt a formal resolution. And I'm willing to reach out to Brian. I don't know who's best to reach out to the county. Nancy, you certainly have the best contact, so you could let them know on behalf of the commission that you know, commission members are considering this, and if they have input, to please provide it.
Okay.
And then we could go ahead either next month or the following month and go ahead and put a resolution on our agenda, unless either part of those two parties see something that we're missing. Does that sound okay to you, Deborah?
Yeah, that's acceptable to me. I would
okay,
also...
Okay, so I'll reach out to...
Nancy, when you reach out to county, if they have any questions as to, you know, what it is we're contemplating, if they would contact either Dawn or myself directly, that would be great.
Okay. So
the county... Yeah.
So okay. What we're contemplating is no... not reviewing individual applications anymore.
Correct. Based on what our specific mission is, we're unclear that there's a benefit to the community for us doing this. And so I would preface both my email to Brian as well as to the county, just saying we're unclear that there's a benefit. It's outside our mission. If they have any input, we'd appreciate hearing before we take any formal action.
Okay.
And then unless we get something back within the next week or two, I would say that we discuss those comments at our next meeting, and then two meetings out, we'd actually go ahead and entertain a resolution to stop doing this.
Okay,
that sounds reasonable.
Sounds fine to me. Yes, sounds very reasonable.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, is there anything else?
I have a couple permits that came in, so I will continue to review those for the time being, right?
Correct. You may be doing these for as much as two more months before we actually stop, or we may just decide to continue on. So, yes, until
okay.
we take formal action, please continue to review.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else on this item before we go to outfall inspection? Okay, that's item B under... Item 7, which is old business, we had last performed an inspection in 2017. Based on conversations thus far in this meeting, I would say a new beach walk is in order. I would further suggest that Deborah go on this one instead of me, since I was able to attend the last one. And then if you agree, Deborah, then you and Nancy just need to work out a time based on Tide's and Nancy's availability primarily, to do this again.
Certainly acceptable to me. So, Nancy, I just rely on you to please schedule something for, you know, within the next 4 or 5 months or so.
Okay. We'll wait till the weather's slightly better and... some low tide times.
Yep. Perfect.
And we won't climb up the ladder, if you don't mind.
Oh, that's a rite of passage, literally.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm fine with climbing up ladders if we have to, but I'll leave that up to you.
You don't want to do this one. It was...
Okay.
We'll walk up and back down.
Sounds good. And then I guess the other thing is that, I think we just need to get this on a schedule that this will be, unless there was another one done after the 2017, it's just that that's the one that I saw. So I think we should make it a little bit more routine than every 4 or 5 years.
I would agree.
Yeah, I think that was the last one. Yeah.
At least every other year minimum.
Okay, I'll actually ask. We've been trying to put together schedules of different administrative tasks, but we'll add some maintenance tasks as well and include that.
Excellent. And then you and Nancy will figure out the date specific. Anything else on this item? All right, item number 8, Commissioner's Reports. I'll make mine brief. We'll go in order. The Commissioner number 1 position is empty, so as Commissioner 2, I'll say that we've all discussed all mine because inevitably, unless my contact with a specific property owner is very brief, I refer them to Nancy, and they've ended up on the agenda, and we've already talked about it. But Deborah, what do you have in the way of going? You have a written report. I'm rambling. I apologize. If you have a written report, you want to go ahead. Yeah.
I'll just walk through the written report. So again, this report, for the benefit of anyone listening to this recorder, this written report will be attached to the minutes from this meeting. So there might be a little bit more detail in the written report, but just that we are continuing to move forward with the records retention and file organization. Been doing some more clean out of duplicate files, a little bit more archiving. So we're really cutting down on the amount of paperwork that the district stores, and we are working on going to a more paperless system, which when it's a virtual company, which is what we are, we don't have an office, we don't have company computers, everybody's working off of their own computer, so it really serves us better if we can have more of a cloud-based document storage where people can access it, the commissioners, our consultants, we can access documents in real time and not try to find something in a file cabinet that's locked away in a basement. So anyway, we've kind of narrowed our research down to Microsoft Business 365. It costs about $300 a year for 5 members for each account. So the Port Ludlow Drainage District would have the 3 commissioners, the recording secretary, and the records retention clerk for the 5 members. And what that would give us is a system where everybody would have access to these in the cloud file cabinets, where if you wanted to look at a contract, you wanted to look at any of the documents that are produced by the district, you could do that. You could even work on them in collaboration so you don't have a lot of drafts running around in email attachments. So just streamlining the amount of not only paperwork, but emails that kind of end up being duplications and kind of filling up our email boxes faster than they need to be. So that would be about $300 a year, and then, which we did put money into the budget for software, which I think this would fall under that. It's pretty cheap storage considering that I think it was at the beach club. We were paying $100 a year now, or $100 a month. Now we're paying $50 a month. So just by continuing to whittle away on the amount of paperwork we have, it
it will be more accessible, but it'll also be a little less expensive. So we're going to try a 30-day free trial just to see if this system will work for us, and then I would come back at one of our next meetings and get the go-ahead to purchase or sign up for this for the software or for the cloud-based storage system. So I also, there were some updates about the 2021 budget. It did get filed with the county on time. Cami took care of that. Nancy did the assessment log certification. I gave a presentation to the LMC Board of Trustees, just letting them know what the budget for 2021 would be, and went over some of the administrative activities from 2020. And then the next issue of Voice, which is the Port Ludlow Community magazine, there will again be a very small blurb just giving the community an overview of what the 2021 budget was approved at. Received all of the county financial reports going through 2020 and where we came out on the budget, and we actually were about $54,000 under budget, and I've listed out that there were some big ticket items of why that was. One of it was the election costs, which we'd budgeted for and then not used. That was $11,000. Capital outlay costs of almost $30,000. And the other big one that we were under budget with was administrative support at $3,000. So the last item that contributed to that was because of some kind of disconnect between the way the county handles the month of December and the way the state does when we have to do annual reports. For the month or for the year 2020, we actually were only recording 11 months worth of invoicing. So if you were to add December's in, we were actually $50,000 under budget and not $54,000. But that's going to go away from now on. Our accounting will be for a 12-month period, and we'll be able to track it a little bit better because of that. But that will be done internally now, and we'll be using our bookkeeping company to track that, and we won't be relying on the county accounting methodology. And then I just want to make a note that our loan principal is just under $18,000, and the interest payment on that is $100,000 per year. There'd been a discussion a little over a year ago that, you know, there's no reason to pay it off because we made money off of our investments in the state investment pool, but in reality, the yearly income generated off that $18,000 that we would still have in our investment pool versus pulling it out to pay off the loan, we're only generating about $25 a year, and we're paying interest at about $100 a year. So I think it's something that we should look at, and the other reason I bring it up is because these loans are state revolving funds, and the more money that gets paid back to the state, that money is then made available to other projects, small community projects, whether it's digging a well or, you know, helping a small community enhance their infrastructure. So, I mean, there are some good neighbor practices of if we're able to pay off that loan to do that and put that money in back in the state pool for somebody else, for some other community to use. So financial reporting, the
county had told us several months ago that they would no longer be tracking our budget expenditures, and they were migrating to a new computer system, and that it was going to roll out in January. And December 28th, they told us that it was not ready for rollout, and so that target date has been moved to March 1st. I have taken training on the new system. I think it's going to work really well for us. I think we're going to get checks written sooner and sent off to our vendors much faster than the old way. Maybe a little bit extra work for us because we have to have our bookkeeper. We will be having our bookkeeper track all of our budget expenditures, but the cost of that's $180 a month, and I think it's going to be a lot better for the district to the advantages are going to be there. So I guess for you, Don, starting in March, there will be a different sign-off or a different way of signing off on the voucher. It won't be a voucher summary. It'll just be a statement that the commissioners approved invoices for the previous month.
Okay.
We did send out, Cammie sent out letters to contractors who had responded to our small works roster explaining that we were changing how we looked at contracts for construction projects, and that they would no longer have to keep us updated, changes of their insurance, et cetera. And but did assure them that we were keeping their contact information on file, and it would be available to us under our new resolution. And then we've got the 2021 meeting schedules posted on the website. Again, Cammie took care of that. And as I explained, the agenda for this meeting, there was a little bit of a snafu, mostly because our webmaster's power was out for a pretty long period of time, but I think we got through the meeting just fine, even with that inconvenience. Cammie will be preparing the agenda for the meetings going forward, so I ask anybody who has agenda items, which really just pertains to our quarterly meetings, to work with her to make sure that that any items that they want put on the agenda is given to her at least a week to 10 days in advance of the meeting. And that's it.
Okay.
Going back to our loan repayment, do we need a formal resolution or just a sense of the commission that we should just go ahead and pay that off? And you can unilaterally go forward and take care of that.
I think I'd have to circle back to, well, first of all, the holder of the loan, just to see what kind of paperwork would need to be generated, and then I'd go back to the county treasurer, because they're the ones who handle our money, and I would also just reach out to, since we didn't put that in our budget, I think it's okay to still do that, but we would probably have to do just formalize some kind of a motion or something that we had decided to do it. I think the loan payment comes due in June or July, so that would be a good time to do it. So I will research it and give you more information of what that would entail.
All right. Yeah, it makes sense to do that, and if you can do it unilaterally without a resolution from the commission, let's just get it done. Otherwise, we'll talk about it, I guess, in March or maybe even as early as February.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for that thorough report. No, that's, you know, I passed mine on to Nancy, and she gets to do it. So, again, you get far more of the workload here, but those are really important things to archive for us in terms of business improvement and business practices. They all come under that generalized heading. Anything else under commissioner's reports? All right, we're down to the last, we have three items left, but only really one, which is the next one, which is the consent agenda. Under that, we have two items. First of all, the review and approval special meeting number 0270, which are the minutes dated December 10th, 2020, and then a review and approval of vouchers. They come in further segregated, first by payroll, which is voucher number 21-001, and that's in the amount of $866.59. And then we have vouchers 21-002 through 010 for various expenses, including our consultants, legal counsel, and so forth, for a total of $3,727.25, and the total for all vouchers is $4,593.84. So I would ask for a motion to approve these items as part of the consent agenda.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, and noting that the voucher summary will be included in the approval of the minutes from this meeting, and that the 2020 financials are now posted on the website.
Okay, I'll second that. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
All right, so we've approved the consent agenda. We have the next item, which is signing the documents, and as I referenced earlier, that will be done electronically and individually by commissioners. So I'll ask if there's anything else to come before us today. Otherwise, I'll ask for a motion for adjournment.
I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I'll second. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, we are, in fact, adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for your time. Stay healthy, and we'll talk next month.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.